But it was the prisoner whom God came to visit and to speak to. And you know what? That gives me encouragement right now to know that no matter where I'm at in this life, no matter what I'm going through right now, God is there. He promised never to leave me nor forsake, never to forsake us. Thank God that we can call unto God and that he can speak to us no matter where we're at in this life and in this world. Praise the Lord. We find in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Amen. Thank God for a God who said, "Call unto me." In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, he said, "Pray without ceasing." Amen. That's what calling unto him is. And we're to ever be before his throne, praying unto God. Praying unto God the Father through the merit of Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, the one mediator between God and man. Let's go before the throne of grace now and pray to him. "Blessed be thy name, O God. I thank you for this evening. Thank you to God that we can come and worship you, Lord, for you are worthy, God. We thank you. God, please plow deep tonight. Help me. Fill me with thy power. Rid me of myself. For I am unworthy, but thou art worthy. God, we love you. We thank you, Father, for what you will do tonight. Fill me with the power of the Spirit of God and give me utterance. In Jesus' name, may his name be uplifted all the days of our life. Amen." Amen. We have a God that said, "Call unto me." He's not a God just far off in a distant place that is unreachable or unattainable or that doesn't care about us, but we have a God who hears and answers our prayers. Amen? He said, "Call unto me." And we are to be calling unto him, believing and knowing that he is there and that he will hear and answer our prayers. If we have a clean heart, if we have a right heart. We know that God doesn't hear those who regard iniquity. We understand that. But we thank God that we have a God who wants to have a relationship with us. He's not like the Muslim so-called God, which is what they call Allah. 1.5 billion people across this world roll out a rug five times a day. They call into a God that they think will never even answer them. Matter of fact, they don't even know if he's even hearing them. And all they do, they repeat these rote prayers. Nothing from the heart. They may think that they're being sincere, but all they're doing, they're just repeating these prayers 5 times a day. They'll roll out their rug no matter what they're doing. Stop what they're doing. I tell you, that's convicting, isn't it? Convicting to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray to a God that won't even hear you. They're calling out to a dead God, but we serve the one true and living God who said, "Call unto me," and he said, "I will answer thee." Amen? Amen. He's not just there, just receiving our prayers, but he said, "I will answer thee." Amen. We serve the living God. Amen. All these other false gods are dead gods. They never were gods in the first place. Allah will never answer 1.5 billion Muslims, yet they're faithful to him, and they're throwing all that they can at him. All that they can at him to try to satisfy him. You know what? He'll never be satisfied. That so-called God, that in their book, their so-called holy book, says that the sheep are to die for the shepherd. But our God said the shepherd will die for the sheep. That's our God. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ who died for his sheep. Amen. Not just Jews, but the Gentiles too. Hallelujah. Thank God. What a Savior we have and serve. Praise his holy name. 30 million Hindu gods. That's what almost 1 billion Indians that over there in India are worshiping. Insufficient gods. Little god for the sun, little god for the water, little god for this tree, little god for that tree, that rock. Insufficient gods. Aren't you glad that we serve one God who is all sufficient? Amen? Amen. And he's not satisfied with our righteousness, but he's satisfied with his own righteousness. Amen. Righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name that he shed his lifeblood there at Calvary and that he said that he would give us that righteousness if we just believe upon him. Amen. Thank God that we don't serve a dead God that won't answer us, but we serve a living God that hears and answers our prayer. Hears and answers our prayer. How does God speak to us? You may have heard this before. God speaks to us through his word, number one. If you're not getting up in the morning or sometime in the daytime, sometime, and reading in his word, you're missing out on what God wants for you. You're missing out. You're lacking. You're starving yourself to death, spiritually lacking. And knowing and understanding the mind of Christ and also how to move forward and appropriate his word. This is the revelation of God that we have before us. Why not know him more? Know who is the maker thereof. Verse number 2, it says, the maker thereof. Amen. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. He's the maker thereof. You have questions, he's got answers. Amen. He's the one that made this whole thing. He knows exactly how it works. And guess what? He said that he can give you not only knowledge and wisdom, but he can give you understanding and let you know how it works. And go forward with that blessing. Praise the Lord for the blessing. But what is the blessing worth anything if we just consume it upon our own lust? The blessing is for us to go and give. It's more blessed to give than to receive, isn't it? That's in all things. Amen. Thank God. Thank God that we have that blessing and we know what it's for. It's not for us to have this prosperous gospel so that I can be rich and have all these things and everything. No, it's not about that. It's about him. It's about us going to them with him. God speaks to us through his word. Second, God speaks to us through other Christians. God-fearing Christians, might I add. Not just people who just don't care much about anything, but people who fear the Lord. That's who God will give wisdom and knowledge. Also, God speaks to us through circumstances. And once it gets to circumstances, it's almost too late. That many times creates inward scars and outward scars. So God said, let us have counsel with wise people. Wise Christians. And he said there's safety there. Let's do that first before circumstances. Let's get into the word of God and before the circumstances hit us upside the head. But thank God that we serve a God that does speak to us. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you believe in a great and mighty God? Amen. Yes, amen. And he wants to do great and mighty things. And he does them every day. We just don't call them miracles. We just call them everyday occurrences that we can explain away by science and all these other things and all these other mathematical situations. But you know what? We serve a great and mighty God that wants to do a great and mighty work through you. If you just yield to him and pray, God, please show yourself. Prove yourself to a lost and dying world through me. I want to yield myself unto you. Amen. Do you believe that he can do that? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And here's what I want you to focus on tonight. Look at that. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Look at that. Which thou knowest not. Look at that word, knowest. There's an underlining, defining theme about Jeremiah's life when you read the book of Jeremiah. And that's the fact that he was a God-fearing person. A God-fearing person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the fear of the Lord also is the beginning of knowledge also. Amen? The fear of the Lord. You know what that tells me? The book of Proverbs teaches us that if we're ever searching for wisdom in any place in this world, the first thing I need to know and understand is the fear of the Lord. I don't need to run to a textbook. I went to 12 years of public school. You know what they did? They never taught me that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Right. If I'm ever going to receive any kind of knowledge that's worth anything, it's got to begin with the fear of the Lord. And we have a generation that's raised up that thinks that they can have knowledge, any kind of wisdom that's worth anything outside of the fear of the Lord. God forbid even Christians. Some Christians think that they can go and live life in sin and not even fear God and God's chastisement upon their life. Because of having that sin in their life. You know what they've accepted? They've accepted foolishness over wisdom. They've left wisdom. That's what we do when we accept sin over living a holy life before God. A separated life, not just separated from the world, but separated from the world and unto God. God-fearing. That's who Jeremiah was. He's a God-fearing man. And he loved the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? What does that mean? C.I. Scofield said it's a reverential trust with a hatred of evil. Do you trust God? Do you worship him for who he is before the blessings? Before you ever even received a blessing, before you were ever even here on this earth, God is holy. God was holy, and he still is and always will be. And he's righteous, and he's true, and he's just. Every time, before I ever was, he was. Amen? That's our God. That's what true worship is. Follow after him and just thank God for just who he is. Thank God for his attributes. And that's what the fear of the Lord is, living before him. And when you lift him up, high, holy, and lifted up, when he's lifted up in your life, you realize that God hates sin. And that Jesus Christ paid for our sin there at Calvary. And I think about the whiplashes that he received. You know what that'll make you do? Just the thought about it will make you not want to run to that sin anymore. Because God has nothing to do with that, wants nothing to do with that. God is a holy God, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's a holy God. He can't have any evil a part of him. Matthew Henry said that the fear of the Lord is a reverence of God's majesty and a dread of his wrath. We serve a God that can't be a part of sin, and those who die in their sin, rejecting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you know where they'll go? They'll go to the lake of fire for all of eternity. And God's full wrath will be poured out upon them for the rest of eternity, which will never end. People that I know and people that you know will hear those words, "I never knew you." Don't we care about them? Don't we care about God's wrath upon them? The fear of the Lord, it's a reverence of God's majesty and a dread of his wrath. This fear may at first have torment, Matthew Henry goes on to say. He says, but love will by degrees cast out that torment. You say, are we supposed to just stand in front of God, trembling and shaking our entire life to where we can't do anything? That's not what God wants. But he does want us to fear his chastisement upon our life. He does want us to understand and know that we've escaped his full wrath in hell and that we should thank him every day. Amen. That's what the fear of the Lord will help you do. It'll help you understand what you've escaped. But it'll also help you understand what they're going to receive out those doors. And anybody who's not here, or anybody who's here who's not saved, that's what you will receive, is God's fullness of wrath. It says, but love will by degrees cast out that torment. The same God that said that to fear him, if you're ever going to receive any kind of wisdom or knowledge in this world that's worth receiving outside of worldly wisdom, God forbid that we put that in our ear gate and eye gate all the rest of our life. And we go do something that God never wanted us to do. God wants you to have his wisdom. But the same God that said to fear him is the same God that said, perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. That's who our God is. Our God is the one who said, fear him, and we fear him. And he says, don't worry about that wrath. You won't receive that wrath. You're saved. You're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're under the blood, and you have one. You have one who will stand for you. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Son of God, stands for you. And he casts out that fear of that eternal wrath. But you know what? We never should forget about what we've missed. Because there's a lost and dying world that's out there who will receive that wrath. I tell you what, the fear of the Lord will help you do. It'll help you go reach them out there. It'll help you clean up your life, get that evil outside of your life. That way, that spiritual warfare that's within your life won't trip you up into making you have a bad testimony in front of the people out here, in front of your neighbors. The fear of the Lord will help you desire to go reach them more. I tell you what, it'll help you pray that your church would send out more laborers. More preacher boys. It'll help you pray that your church would send out missionaries. It'll help you pray that God would send you. It'll help you give more to missionaries. It'll help you love God more and understand his purpose for this church. And his purpose for this church is to reach dying people who will receive his wrath. The judgment's already made. We're not judging them. Their judgment is already sealed until they receive Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God revives their dead spirit and seals them until the day of redemption. And that's up to you, beloved. That's up to you. Precious, how is it? Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. I may have butchered that verse, but you know it. When I die, when you die, if you're saved, it's precious in God's eyes. But what about them? It's not precious unless you go with the truth, with the word of God, teaching them that there's a God in heaven who loves them, who died for them. Would you go? Would you reach them? Do you care about God's wrath upon their life? He can't be a part of sin. They will pay for their sin for all eternity, never working their way out. We serve a just God who is righteous. We must follow after him. I thank God Dr. Clarence Sexton taught us. He said, the fear of the Lord releases us from all lesser fears. We may be fearing them out there, but you know what God said? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's one of the greatest commandments, the greatest commandment. Love him. And then he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what? We can't love him unless we love them too. God gave Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a commandment to go and die on the cross, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He received a commandment first. And he also loved us. Praise God that we are also to do the same. Receive that commandment to go to all the world and love them also. God's love will keep you there. Your love for God will keep you there. Your love for them won't keep you there when they spit in your face and slam the door. But your love for him will keep you going back. Do you fear God's wrath upon them? I pray that we do. He's the maker thereof. But you know what? Looking at creation will not save them. God has made it so easy for us to reach people who looks like us and dresses like us, acts like us, eats the same food, they have the same accent that we do, speak the same language. God's made it so easy for us to reach them. If we're not reaching them, you know what you won't understand? You won't understand a man with a bone in his nose halfway across the world. When you learn to love them and go reach them because of Christ, then you'll begin to understand the uttermost part of the earth. Love your Jerusalem. It'll boil over into Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost part of the earth. Begin with God. That's where all things begin. But you know what? A man with a bone in his nose, he has nothing. All he has is creation and to fear the one who ever created that. But fearing God doesn't save you. It gives you wisdom, though. Fearing God will, as we've seen in some places in the Bible, allow God to bring somebody else along that God can use that person to show those God-fearing people that there's a God in heaven who died for them. Show them more than there's just a creator, but there's a God in heaven who created all things and died for them too. Amen? Amen. Amen. But they need more. 3.2 billion people across this world, they don't have one word of God's word in their heart language. How does God speak to us, number one? Through his word. And they don't have one word. I'd like for you to close your Bible and open up to the first blank page that you see in your Bible. Go ahead. Open up to the first blank page that you see right there. Blank. Maybe in the front and maybe in the back. It may be your cover. But just open up and look at that blank page and look and notice that there are no words there. You just entered into a people group that has nothing of the Bible, of the Word of God. And they don't know how to know God unless you go and reach them. 3.2 billion people, that's almost half the world. That's all the Bible that they have right there. You say, I don't know much, but you've been to Sunday school enough times and you've sat in this pew on Sunday night and Sunday morning and you've learned enough to know more than to give to somebody who has nothing. It's not just people across the world, people across the street. They know nothing about the Word of God. They don't have a Bible in their home. 3.2 billion people, they don't have any of the Word of God in their heart language they grew up speaking. And you can give them something of the truth of God. You can give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, we're praying for 12,128 church planting families just to come to Italy. That's the need in Italy. What about the rest of the world? Could you imagine going to a people group who's never heard of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? Take out a pen if you have a pen. How many of you have a pen? Go ahead. Click it. Go ahead. And write that name at the top of that page, Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Write it down. Lord Jesus Christ. You can teach that name. He is Lord. He is God of all. He is the creator. He's the maker thereof. And he is God of all. And he loves you. He loves everybody. He created them. But man walked away from a holy God because they chose sin. And every single one of us have come short of the glory of God. We've sinned. And because of that, God, he loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord, he is the Lord who came to this earth, who was robed in flesh. He's all God. He was all man, robed in flesh, came humbly as a babe in a manger, born in a manger of all places. And he came to do not just miracles, not just take dust or dirt or take nothing and make something. It's more than the miracles. He came to die for us. His name is Lord. He is Lord. He came to be Jesus here on this earth. And when he died, he stretched out his hands there at Calvary. He said, "It is finished." And the work of Calvary, or the work of salvation, was over with. He did it. He finalized it. And he became the Christ. He is Lord. He is Jesus. And he became the Christ, the one who the prophets of the Jews it prophesied for so many years, hundreds of years beforehand, that there would be a Messiah who would come and die for our sins. His name would be Emmanuel. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine taking that to a people group who've never heard that before in their life? You can teach that. You know, when I was a junior in college, I prayed to God pretty much this prayer. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, I said, anywhere. Go ahead, write that word anywhere underneath Lord Jesus Christ and put a little dash out beside of it. Go ahead, write it down. Lord Jesus Christ, anywhere. And I said, anything. I said, anytime. Lord Jesus Christ, anywhere, anything, anytime. Would you give that to God tonight? I pray, Lord, make me a worldwide blessing. You think God can make you a worldwide blessing? If you believe in a great and mighty God who can do great and mighty things to people who are yielded to him, he will. You know what? That blank of anywhere, when I gave God anywhere, I said Papua New Guinea, I said Tanzania, Africa, I said Siberia, Russia, God, wherever you would have me to go, God, please just let me go. Let me be used of thee, almighty God. And you know what he did? He began to open doors. And when I gave God, not just my now, it's easy to give God just now, but what about then, in the future? We serve an omnipresent God who's not just omnipresent in time or place, you believe that. But he's also present in time also. Omnipresent. He's there in your future waiting on you to come to him. He's drawing you to him. Would you say yes to him? Give him your future. When I gave God my future, he began to be very specific about what that future is. Some of you don't know what holds in your future. Give it to God. He's already there. It's better in his hand than in our hands, isn't it? Just say yes to him. And when I said anywhere, God said, okay, Italy. He made that very apparent. And we thank God for it. I said anytime. He said, okay, he's showing it to us now. It's April 29th, 2014. And we'll be flying out to Italy. And we'll be able to reach the people whom God has called us to. I thank God we're at 90%, almost 90%, 89% support right now. And we're going with or without the full support, trusting God. Do you believe God can use you to be a worldwide blessing? I believe he can. I believe he'll fill in that blank. If you give him anywhere, anything, anytime, and leave a blank, I believe he will fill in that blank. You said, how do I know that? Because we serve a God who said, call unto me. He said, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's a lost world that's out there that needs you. Would you say yes to him? Show him that you love him by going to them. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, thank you for the evening. Thank you for the preparation of hearts who have come. And I pray that we would not think that this is just it. I pray, dear God, that we would know and understand that this life is not it, that there is an afterlife with you. And that all of our pleasures aren't for to be placed in this one life. We know that there's a greater life to live with you in your presence. Help us to cry for souls now while we have opportunity. Father, we know when that trumpet sounds and you send Christ back, what a glorious time that will be, but it'll be it for them. It'll be it for them. Unless they get saved in the tribulation, God. But they might not make it through. They might die. God, help us to go reach those who we know will hear those words from you. I never knew you. God, may you know them. Because we gave that wisdom and knowledge to them about who you are. May they trust in you. Strengthen us, God. Give us boldness, Father. Thank you, dear God, for casting out our fears. Thank you, dear God, that you do chastise us and get us on the right path. Help us to know and believe and trust in you all the days of our life. God, how we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor.